you stand on a firm foundation. If you're able and willing, I invite you to stand with us as we seek Him together. Our merciful Lord and our most kind Savior, oh Lord, on this night it is with a deep peace and contentment that we stand upon that rock which is Christ. Oh Lord, that we have waited patiently for You, oh Lord, and You have inclined to us and heard our cry. You've lifted us out of the miry pit, and You've set our feet upon the rock, making our steps secure. Have You not put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise unto our God? And, O Lord, as we sing our songs, Lord, as we pour out our affections, we would ask that many would see and that many would hear and put their trust in the Lord. You have lifted us out of that pit of sin and misery. Lord, You have pardoned our guilt. You've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we have come to You with our sins, with our uncleanness, with our rebellions, with our distrust. And, O Lord Jesus, how tenderly You have spoken to us, even though we were condemned by the law, deserving the law's just wrath and curse. O gracious Lord, You have looked at us, You have loved us, and You have sent us away pardoned and exhorted. And oh God, that You would give us the grace to press on as pardoned, forgiven, assured sinners, looking unto Jesus, that light of the world. Lord, that You would ever remind us that You are that true light of the world, and that whoever follows You will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That if we do not believe that You are who You say that You are, that we will die in our sins. But oh, that for those hearing Your words, placing their trust in You, placing our hand in Yours, oh, that there is nothing but life and joy and blessing and goodness. Lord, give us to know and to hear that cheering, softening sound tonight. Give us to hear Your voice speaking to us through the Scriptures. Lord Jesus, we need Your Scriptures. We need Your truth. We need Your promises. Lord, bewailing our corruption and our guilt, we need Your pronouncement of pardon. Lord, loathing the corruption, Lord, hating our sins, we continue to need Your cleansing power. And so we lean upon Your everlasting arms this night, that You are sufficient. Lord, that in our ignorance, You are our wisdom. In our corruption, You are our sanctification. In our guilt, You are our righteousness. Lord, in our estrangement, are You not our reconciliation? Lord, in our hostility, You, Lord Jesus, You are our peace. Oh, give us to know that peace this night, that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, Spirit of God, would You take Your truth? Would You take the words? Would You plant them deeply into our affections, that we would believe whatsoever is revealed in the Word? Oh, Holy Spirit, we ask that by your grace, by your work, we would put to death the deeds of the flesh, that we would live. We ask that by your Spirit we would have that firm and certain persuasion of your goodness, a goodness that leads us to a continual repentance. Lord, that by your Spirit we would have that sweet, anchored, joyful hope. Oh, that we are saved by hope, looking unto our hope of glory, the resurrection from the dead. And we ask that by your Spirit you would teach us what we ought to pray for, that you would make intercession for us according to the will of God with groans that are too deep for words. O Spirit of God, would you sanctify to us all of our losses, all of our disappointments, all of our challenges, all of our crosses. Would you sanctify to us our deepest distress, O Spirit of God? Holy Spirit, you are life. You are our life in the midst of darkness and mourning. You are our life in the midst of struggles against sin. You are our life. You are our portion. O Spirit of God, we would rejoice this night that you apply to us all the benefits, all the blessings purchased by the Son. That if God be for us, who can be against us? That you remind us of this ancient promise, that he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That there is none to lay a charge against your elect, that it is Christ who died and who rose again, that it is God who justifies, that you make us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. O Spirit of God, you bring to our remembrance every one of these sweet and precious words. And we pray that they would be bracing words, comforting words, strengthening words. We ask that you would revive your church, Lord, that the precious words of Christ would be cherished in these walls, and they would be taken down our streets, that they would be read at our tables, that they would be sung in our homes, that these promises would be rehearsed, repeated to our children, to 1,000 generations, that you would be a God to us and to our children after us, that you would be their light, that you would lead them by your Spirit, that they would be counted as the sons and daughters of Zion. Our gracious and glorious God, we ask that your truth might be grand and piercing and fortifying. Would you give us to hear so that our souls would live, and give us to praise your name, O God, for it is good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text tonight will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 54. Psalm 54, this is on page 603 in your pew Bibles. These are the songs of Israel. They were the songs of the church for centuries. These are the songs of Jesus. These are the songs that Jesus would have sung. So children, whatever age you are, some of y'all are 6, some of you are 8, 7, 14, 11, 16, whatever age you are, think about it. Jesus himself was once that age. And what would Jesus have done
on the Sabbath day? Well, he would have gone to the synagogue and he would have sung. He would have sung these songs. Psalm 54 would have been a song that he would sing. And he would mean every word. He would believe and love every word. These are the songs not just of Israel. These are the songs of Jesus. And there is so much of Christ in the Psalms. We're reading through the Gospel of John on Lord's Day evenings, and in many ways, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give you the framework. They give you details of the life of Christ. In many ways, the Psalms give you the soul of Christ. How would Jesus have prayed? What would his prayers have been? What sort of things would he pray for? Well, the Psalms give us a little window into the prayers of Jesus. Jesus would have sung psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms filled with joy, happiness even. He also would have sung psalms of sorrow, psalms of lament, psalms crying out for justice, psalms that you could sing when you're hated without cause, psalms you could sing when you are unjustly accused, when you're persecuted. This is a psalm which David wrote, and he wrote this. You can read this in 1 Samuel chapter 23. He's out hiding. He's running from Saul. Saul is tracking him down. And the locals, the Ziphites, report where David is. And so Saul, he brings his troops chasing after David. They're on a mountain. And what a scene this would make. You have David and his men on one side of the mountain and Saul and his men on the other. And Saul is closing in. Saul receives a report. He has to come back home. And so David is spared. It was in meditation on that scene when Saul was hunting him down, reported on by the locals. It was in meditation on that scene that David wrote these words. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, "Is not David hiding among us?" O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer and give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. And he will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. And with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. for he has delivered me from every trouble. And my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Well, this psalm gives you reason to trust in the name of the Lord. Whatever your trouble, whatever your sorrow, whatever the accusation, whatever the season, you have ample reason to trust in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a psalm crying out for justice. Look at verse 1. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. It's a crying out for vindication, for judgment. He is asking the Lord to judge him. You know, there is a time. There's a time to pray that prayer. To pray for judgment. To pray for vindication. To pray that truth would be upheld. What happens to truth in different seasons? Truth seems buried. Righteousness appears to go down with the sunset. But what do you see in the scriptures? In the scriptures, you have this aching that truth would rise, that righteousness would be vindicated, that unjust accusations would be overturned. There is this hope, and there is even this expectation in the scriptures that though truth will appear to go down below the horizon, it will await a certain resurrection, that it will come back, and that light will shine again. And here is David, and David's greater son, and all of those belonging to him, and they're crying out for vindication, for justice, for righteousness. O God, hear my prayer and give ear to the words of my mouth. Strangers, ruthless men, those who do not set God before themselves. You've been on the receiving end of these people's words. Their sneers, their scornings, their snubbings. David recognizes that God is his helper, that the Lord is his upholder. This is a psalm of lament, but what does David do in his mourning, in his crying out for justice? What does he do? He continues to trust. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. David has no need to take personal vengeance. It's often assumed that the Old Testament is the book of vengeance, like the God of anger, and his people are vindictive. And then the New Testament is the season of love and of kindness. Well, if you read the life of David, you see that nothing could be further from the truth, that David was a man who was not given over to vengeance. He leaves justice in the hands of God. He knows that God is just, that God will do what is right. David and Paul agree when it comes to justice. Vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so he resolves that he will offer a sacrifice. Look at verse 6. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. I want you to think with me for just a few minutes. What is good about the name of the Lord? What is it about the name of God that is worthy of your trust? What does it even mean to trust in the name of the Lord? I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. Verse 1, O God, save me by your name. Now, what is his name? Well, is this not how he unveils himself? How he makes himself known? What is his name? You know, it is how he shows himself to you. Look, even in our relations, you and I do not know each other unless there is an unveiling, unless there is a revealing, unless there is a sharing of words, a communication of words, statements. What has God done? Has he not made himself known unto you? Here is David trusting that God will vindicate. He trusts in the name of the Lord. By your name, O God, now save me, you would sing in the Psalter. Grant me justice by your strength. His name, it's how he reveals himself. Names that tell you something about who and what he is. That God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Names that show you that he is from everlasting to everlasting. Names, attributes that teach you that he cannot be bound, that he cannot be confined. Even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. What is his name? Well, it's how he reveals himself to you. His name, y'all, that what he shows himself to be. And there is richest reward in mind and heart and life when you choose to believe that he is who he says that he is. When Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world, you find that those who follow him will not walk in darkness. That even in the deepest pit of despair and accusation, you can still look up and recognize, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. You look to him. He has revealed himself. He's revealed his attributes to you. He is a God who is holy, who is kind, who is merciful, who is just, who is full of love, who is called love itself. And that's how John defines him. God is love. God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, verse 6, for it is good. His very name is goodness. And it's as he reveals his names to you that you see how he relates to us. Names that give you what he's like. Names that give you his character. Names that give you his relations to us. How does God relate to you? Okay, so kids, you can look around the room. Go ahead, look around the room. And you can see different people in this room with you. And we're all doing the same thing. We're all worshiping the Lord. We're all hearing his word together. Now, some of these people in the room you are related to. One person in this room is your mother. One person is your father. Other people in this room, we have two of our deacons, three of our deacons. These are you're related to them in different ways. Now you have your friends here in the room. Now, how does God relate to you? If you were to point to God, How is he related to you? Oh, y'all, he is your creator, your father, your redeemer, your judge, your savior, your fortress, your friend. His names. And through his names, what does he do? He gives you his relations to you. How does he relate to you? You know, this thing called Christianity, this thing, the gospel, it is about God and man reconciled together. He has a new relation to you. His names. And these names have been revealed. You didn't come up with these names. People didn't come up with these names of God. They were revealed. They were spoken. And then they were written down. They were revealed to you. And then they had to be lit up by the Spirit's light. You don't understand these names of God unless the Holy Spirit lights them up and he enlightens your mind. And he opens your hearing to understand what it is for him to be your Redeemer. What does it mean for Jesus to be the light of the world? What does it mean for Jesus to be the bread of life? For him to be the resurrection and the life? For God to be the everlasting God? What do all of these names mean? Well, the Spirit of God, he shines the light. He opens the eyes of your understanding that you can see him, that you can understand more fully who he is. And then those names, they're not only read on a page, they are felt with power. That they take a deep root down into your understanding, into your affections, into your conscience, into your will. You feel deeply the power of these names. David cries out, "Oh God, save me by your name." And by that same name, new life the dead receive. By that same name, you and I are given life from the dead. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, judged, accounted righteous. What is it to trust in that name? For David, to lean upon this name, what is it to trust in the name of God? Y'all, it's more than to trust in the name of the Lord. It is more than a scientific collection of facts about him. No, it is a strong, full-hearted embrace of his person. An embrace of who he is. This is a life. This is a life that is given to you. And you collect all of these truths about God, all of these names, these attributes, these findings as you search the scriptures, as you sing the psalms, as you pray the prayers. Now, as you memorize the text, all of these facts, all of these truths that you collect and that you learn and understand, y'all, the Spirit of God, what does he do? He lights the match and he sets those truths aflame. And so his truth, his word becomes as fire in your bones. To trust in the name of the Lord is a full-hearted embrace of his person. It is a solemn consecration of the will. Trust is active. Trust is keeping your balance. You ever been to, kids been to the playgrounds? And at some playgrounds, there will be a little balance beam. And you try to walk on the balance beam without falling one to one side or the other.
to trust in the name of the Lord is to balance your steps upon who He is. It is the highest act of worship. You're consecrating all that you are, all that you have. You're leaning your everlasting soul upon Him. And you are looking to Him. Every possible need that you could have, you're looking to Him to provide. You look to Him, to His name to provide. If you're under a sense of guilt, you look to His righteousness and pardon. If you're feeling the ugliness, the vileness of sin and uncleanness, you look to Him for purging, for purifying. If you're under a sense of ignorance, you look to Him for wisdom, for instruction, for understanding. You look to His name, His attributes, His titles. These supply you with every possible need you could ever have. And His divine power has granted you everything necessary for life and godliness. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Y'all, this is the gospel. Our help stands tonight in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, who is our rock, our fortress, and our redeemer. The specific need which David expresses here is for judgment. He prays for judgment, for vindication. Where do you turn if you are in David's position? You turn to the Lord, our righteousness. You turn to that servant, the branch. You turn to that eternal Son of God who will be seated on the throne of judgment. And the Apostle Paul points to the day, preaching to the Greeks in Athens, he points to the day that God has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has appointed. And of this He's given assurance unto all by raising Him from the dead. Where does David turn? He turns to Jesus. He turns to the judge. Vindicate me by your might. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. You look at verse 6. You notice that the word Lord is in all caps. Well, what does that all caps spelling of Lord indicate? Well, that's the covenant God. That's the one who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. That's the one who says, I am who I am. And ultimately, it is Jesus who will take that name upon Himself. Jesus will say, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the one who is addressed as the covenant Lord, who has been from everlasting to everlasting, and His name is held out to you as sufficient to save, sufficient to vindicate, sufficient to supply every possible need, longing, and cry. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Jesus is recorded as, in the days of His flesh, He offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears. And you spend some time this evening reading over Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. There are stirring words about the praying of our Lord Jesus. Strong cryings and tears. There is nothing half-hearted or passive about the prayers of our Lord Jesus. There is nothing cold and stoic or unemotional about the prayers of Jesus.
but for the sake of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and trusted that his Father would restore him to the glory, that his Father would vindicate him, restoring him to the glory which he had before the world existed. For the sake of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God, declared to be the Son of God with power. So that now you can call upon his name. Calling upon the name of Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Calling upon him without whom no one will see the Father. Call upon the name of Jesus. Address him as your helper, as the upholder of your life. Address him as your judge, your vindicator, the one who is worthy and whose name is good. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we would bow before the majesty of your throne, calling upon your name, which is good. Trusting in your righteousness, trusting in your judgment. And, O Lord, that you would shine the light of truth. Shine that light upon your name as revealed in the Scriptures. Would you open our understanding, Lord, that our hearts would burn as the Scriptures are revealed by the Spirit. That we would embrace you, that we would lean upon you, and we would look to you for every need. And so we ask in Jesus' name, amen.